ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to your number one Metal Gear Solid fan podcast. This is the Patriot Cast, as you can tell by the sound of my voice. This is Andrew, and I'm back. This is not the Sons of the Patriot Cast. This is what we call these days, Patriot Cast Classic. With me, joining me, my brand new faithful co-host, Mr. Anthony West. And how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thanks.
All right, excellent. Well, those of you who were listening to the last show, remember that I was hyping something up. I'm in the middle of conducting an experiment, if you will, in terms of I'm going to be getting a person who has never played any of the Metal Gear games ever and basically forcing them to play those games. And as I was talking, all the guys were going, oh, who is this person? Is he going to... Has he ever played games? Is he into Metal Gear? Is he into games? And I was telling guys, there's a fundamental thing that's wrong with your questions. And they're like, oh, it's... And they couldn't find it because the main thing is the person... This is a Patriot Cast first. This is a record. The person that I'm conducting this experiment with is not a he. It is actually a she. And she's sitting right next to me and laughing very nervously, I think it is. With us in the room, we have Hannah. Hannah, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. I have to admit, this is a Patriot Cast first. This is a record. We have never, ever had a girl on the show because we're a bunch of nerds. So we're all very nervous and excited. But tell us a little bit about your setup, about yourself in terms of... So you've never played Metal Gear before?
No, I've never played Metal Gear.
But you have played video games?
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself a girl gamer?
RPGs tend to be considered more girlish games,
but out of the consoles you do, you did bring here to university a PlayStation 2 and a Wii.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you're saying you're more into the RPGs, and as I have probably gathered, you're more into the Western Japanese RPGs.
Yeah, Japanese RPGs.
Seeing that me and Hannah have just returned from the Anime Society. Ant is laughing right now because I tried to get Ant to go. Well, he did. Ant went to the Anime Society with us on the first night, and they were showing an anime called School Rumble. And the expression on Ant's face enhanced the anime for me because it was the expression of... There is that scene in Team America where the guy goes, wow, a flying limo, now I've seen everything. And the guy next to him is like, have you ever seen a man eat his own face? And he's like, no, then you haven't seen everything. And neither has we. That was the expression on Ant's face. It's of a man, as if he's watching a man eat his own face when Ant was watching anime. So it was very good, but it wasn't Ant's thing. And of course, we can understand that. But me and Hannah do go every Thursday now to the anime night, and Anne's just looking at us so disappointed right now. So, you're promoting into anime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to those, because we have a certain Patriot Cast co-host who hasn't been in a while, Matt, I'm talking about you, who's very big into anime, and one of his signature was Borderline Hentai, and I made him remove it from the forums, so unfortunately. But Matt, you know, I'm talking about you. Would you like to give to the listeners, certain listeners, just a couple of anime that you're into?
There's one which hasn't been released in the, like, translated yet, which is called Kurashitsuji, and the classic Full Metal Alchemist, which everyone seems to like.
Excellent. And watched Beyblade when he was little, so...
I did. I'm not immune to the... Anime cries, yeah. I did watch Beyblade when I was younger. That is the only anime series that I've ever watched. So.
Well, let's not turn this into the anime podcast. Let's go back to Metal Gear. But Metal Gear, in a way, Metal Gear has always had certain roots in anime. Even though it doesn't have the kind of the anime art style, it's very, although it's kind of very sci-fi, very Japanese, very stylistic. So, what happened is, you've heard of Metal Gear before you played it. Before we played it here. Were you ever interested in playing it?
I was. It was... people were recommending it as a good game.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah.
Why did you never get around to playing it?
I'm not very good at stealth games. I did buy one as part of, like, a deal, but I actually haven't gotten around
never
to playing
it. Never played it. Okay. Like, so, well, now, you came to university and you met such lovely people as me and Ant. And me and Ant, big Metal Gear Solid fans, of course, as the listeners know. And we kind of forced you to play Metal Gear. And the thing is, I thought to myself, you know, this is going to be a good experiment. You know, getting a person who's never played and is a girl. And that's how many podcasts, how many video game geek podcasts have ever done that?
Never.
Have a girl on.
Never. It's never ever done that.
Never ever done that. So that's the experiment. So we started doing this experiment a couple of weeks, I think over a week now. So basically Hannah sits down under minor and supervision and starts playing Metal Gear, and we basically ridicule her about what she's doing wrong all the time. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to do maybe one episode of this a week, maybe more, maybe less, where every week we catch up to where Hannah is in the Metal Gear chronology, if you will. So right now you are playing through Metal Gear Solid 1 for the PlayStation 1, and Hannah has just beaten Psycho Mantis. So in this show we're just going to talk through the beginning up to that part, what she enjoyed, what she didn't, what she finds interesting, what's really cool, just generally that kind of stuff. So we start off, some dude jumps out of the water in some base and starts talking to the colonel, and the colonel's telling him to push the action button. What was your initial, let's go back even backwards. You start off the game and X does nothing. You have to press circle. For most people, that's unusual. Was that unusual for you?
That was very unusual for me. That's normally the select button.
Yeah. The thing is, I mean, again, most of the Japanese games do have, especially the old games, they have circle. They just, when they port them here, they change it, but Kojima obviously couldn't be bothered. So that's a sum. What did you think of the actual beginning of the game, of what happens, the whole opening cinematic, Snake jumps up, he's talking to the colonel, what did you think of that?
I'm not sure, actually.
Isn't the best radio.
Well, I was surprised there was such a long pause for the actual lift to come down at the beginning.
And, I mean, have you ever experienced something like that in any of the games where you actually have a credit sequence where you have to wait for something to happen, which you can't trigger yourself?
No, because normally the credit sequence are actually just a cutscene. They don't involve actual gameplay.
Right. But did you enjoy having that kind of credit sequence of where, you know, running around and not doing anything?
Yeah, and getting caught too early on.
And you got caught as well. So the thing is, I mean, I was sitting next to you, and I think it helps when someone's sitting next to you and he can explain to you the controls. Because, I mean, they don't do the best. A lot of the games these days, you have, especially Western games, where you start off and the first part of it is just a big tutorial, you know, press X. Metal Gear doesn't really have that, does it? I mean, the Colonel tells you to push the action button to crawl down, and, but, what?
I automatically start crawling because I'm used to pressing the X button.
And, but... But the thing is, that's the first thing, your impression. How about the graphics? Do you think the game looks outdated now, or do you think it still stands up?
I think it still stands up, especially how good they are for a PlayStation 1 game. If you look at some of the old ones, especially Final Fantasy VII with bowling ball rings and stuff.
Yeah, they do look all like Popeye, Final Fantasy VII. And it was funny because we were playing Final Fantasy in front of Ant, and he had the same face-eating expression as he did
It was very strange because Andrew was playing it and all of a sudden he declared that he was losing, and I had no idea that he was winning at any point, or in fact that he could win. That was how close.
Just these guys just standing like just waiting turns to attack this huge monster. But it's I think I'm going to have to just sit and down, like strap him down, like in a chair and play Final Fantasy in front of him, and then by the end his head will explode, I'm pretty sure. So that was the opening credit sequence. The controls are different. You mentioned about being caught. Everyone gets caught the first time. Metal Gear is one of those. There is a big learning gap when you start off because it's very unusual in terms of the buttons you press, the stuff you do. How did you tackle that learning curve? What did you think when you first started playing it? Did you think it was too hard at the beginning, or what did you think of the controls, the way they were set up, the things the snake could do?
It took me a while to get used to it, but I think they were good.
Right.
After you get the hang of it, it's easier.
Mm-hmm. What about more modern games these days? You know, they have first-person perspectives and the right analog stick is used for moving the camera, and Metal Gear doesn't have that. Do you think that limited the game for you?
No, I think I prefer the Metal Gear version, actually.
Right. Okay, excellent. So we get through the bit and the liquid's there, and it's, I'm going to get into this hide now and all that kind of stuff. So he gets upstairs, and then you got called a couple of times, let's just say that. And but you did very well. You did a lot better than I thought you were going to do. We get into the elevator, and then there's, of course, the big cutscene. Snake takes off his clothes, and he gets up into the snow, and then of course he meets Mei Ling. What did you, up to that point, what did you think of, because I purposely didn't want to tell you anything about the story. I wanted you to experience the story as someone who was playing for the first time would. What did you think of the story up to that point, where you infiltrate, he's talking to the codec, Mei Ling, Colonel, oh Snake, I'm not going to let you do a strip search on me, that kind of stuff. What did you think of the story up to that point?
What, in terms of plot or characters?
Both.
Well, they got this sort of characterization, like, right from the start with Snake being all flirty and everything.
Right.
And as for the story, I wasn't really quite sure what was going on. We were just going to save some guy.
Mm. Well, that's the main thing. That's the main thing most people get when they start off with the story. They're like, oh, this is just a generic action movie rip-off game where terrorists, and that's what they want you to think, you know, terrorists infiltrate, they're holding people hostage, you've got to steal them, Snake is the one man that's going to destroy them, you know, very generic. So then finally, after a bit of a cutscene, you get the, what did you think of the Soliton raid, of having, you know, seeing Snake up the top? Did you like that addition to the game, the radar, you know, at the top right,
yeah,
where you can see, did you like that, did you like seeing the guard's vision of what was happening?
Yeah, it helped a lot. And
it's not an MGS3 or 4, just so you know. Just telling you now. It's a lot harder on MGS3, and you can tell you don't know where the guards are.
You don't. I suppose the reason for that was they was trying to. It was in the 60s.
Right? Yeah, but it was in the 60s, but then they had hover jet things.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. It wasn't too bad in MGS4, because obviously you had Solid Eye, but MGS3 was a bit of a nightmare for that, to be honest. I mean, when I first sat down and played MGS3, just because of that, not having the radar there, just felt not like a Metal Gear game.
It's like having your arm cut off, you know?
Yeah, exactly. In terms of Metal Gear playing.
Yeah, in terms of Metal Gear, it's like having your arm cut off. Or in Snake's case, getting your eyeball shot out.
Yes.
Okay, well, so we got through there. And of course, there's not much to talk about in these beginning sequences. You just walk around Shadow Moses. I helped you out with the hint and getting inside the air vent, because I think it will take a long time for people just to, like, oh, where do I go here and there? Did you manage to get caught in that part? I don't think you did.
No, I don't think I did.
Well done. The funny thing is, he went into, because the thing is, you're quite a meme person, an incident meme. We all are here, and that was one of the things that me and Hannah kind of bonded over in terms of our love for random internet memes. So Trollolo and all of that kind of stuff. So you've seen Metal Gear Awesome, even though you didn't play the Metal Gear. So there was kind of the spoiler when McDonald Miller, or whatever the hell he's known as these days, where, you know, Snake, this is McDonald Miller. I mean, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and you saw that, so you know it's Liquid, and you know,
yeah.
So unfortunately, that was spoiled for you, but it's a pretty good element in the game. So we get past that. We get to the cutscene. What did you first think of when you heard the two guys talking about, like, there's a second guy there and he's killing people with stealth? Did that kind of heighten your interest in what's going on?
You don't remember.
And you remember what's happening, right? Snake's crawling through the air duct.
There's the two guards.
Yeah, no, he's using stealth, and Snake's like, stealth. Well, did that kind of heighten your interest in what's going on?
Yeah.
Did that make you pay more attention to things?
Yeah, it did.
Right.
I thought it was, they were talking about Snake at first, and I was like, but I haven't actually killed anyone with stealth yet.
Exactly, a lot of people do. But this is the interesting thing. So then the thing is, we can't be really describing. Oh, okay, and then Hannah, then you went to floor B1 of the tank hangar. And how did you enjoy crawling around the wall there? You know, we can't really go. So we're going to have to skip past a few bits. You had a bit of trouble with the cameras in the beginning of crawling out of there. Like
Lasers.
And the lasers as well. Oh, yeah, well, we'll get to the lasers later on. Oh, God, how long did we... No, we'll get... Listeners, we'll get to the lasers later on. So we get past that. You get I help you out. You have to go there. Meryl. Before Meryl, we get the DARPA chief. So the DARPA chief is what? Why are you laughing?
Just how your comment was right about everything he says is a question.
Oh, so, I was going to get to that. The thing is, like, a lot of people do say, basically, even David Hayter admitted, in Metal Gear Solid 1, every single word that comes out of Snake's mouth is a question. And it's true. All the time. It's like, especially when he's talking to the DARPA chief. I understand when someone's... DARPA chief is the source of information and Snake is representing the players. You know, he doesn't know anything. He's like Marty McFly or Luke Skywalker. You know, he's the information point of the story. But the thing is, he always, like, I guess they felt that they needed David Hayter to speak every now and then so the listeners don't lose attention. So every single word that came out of Snake's mouth was like, Metal Gear, Hindy, Karki, what, whoa. And usually it was basically the last word or the last phrase that the person he was talking to repeated.
Yeah.
So it's like, the Armstead generals, the Armstead head is corrupt. Corrupt. You know, that kind of stuff. It's so there was another woman in the cell. Woman. And so that was quite funny. It's funny how you caught on to that. But that's just Snake in this game. You know, he's meant to be this guy with the highest IQ in the world, but he asks a lot of questions. So DARPA chief dies. Okay, we had a bit of a problem when you got out of prison shooting with Meryl. Would you like to describe what the problem actually was?
I couldn't actually hit anybody.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think I didn't actually mention this to you. If you just stand there, he will auto aim and auto fire all the guys. You were actually trying to aim.
I was trying to aim.
So the area, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. A bit. So basically, it was Meryl's just standing there, and Snake is just spinning around in circles trying to find her. He shot Meryl. He shot Johnny. He shot the wall. Everything. So then I had to take the controller from Hannes. I think it was the 6th attempt.
Six attempt.
I decided to take the controller into my hand. And that was one of the only times I actually took the controller from you. And so it was very good. But auto aim and, what are you waiting for? Shoot! And the snake just goes around in circles and tries to shoot the floor. So that was interesting. What did you think of Meryl's character when you first met her? The whole kind of, you're a rookie. You've got green eyes. She doesn't have eyes. They're polygon models. Very low rendered. But what did you think of the whole Meryl character?
I found it kind of strange that if she's been training to be in the army, yet she's still considered a rookie.
Hmm. Right.
And how did she even get there in the first place?
I think it was like she was part of the Foxhound, and then something happened. And
Would she know that yet?
I think. Let's all sell off things in case we spoil things. Yeah, so yeah.
Because we're trying not to spoil the storyline.
So you meet Maron. That's some weird shit happens where things just go black and white, and then she tries to shoot you, runs away, and the camera's focusing on her behind all the time. So he's like, ass. It doesn't say that. What did you think of that when the whole Psycho Mantis thing happened for the first time?
It was quite trippy. Hmm. I knew he was going to come up because of all the internet memes and stuff, but yeah, still
trippy. You like men. You can read my mind? No. Oh. okay, well, stupid internet memes. You should have never seen Metal Gear Awesome. It would have so made the game better for you. Okay, so that happens. What did you think? You still don't know about the whole thing. People keep on dying around Snake. Do you know why this happens? Was this spoiled by a meme for you? No?
It hasn't been spoiled, yeah.
So what are you thinking right now? Because obviously it's not a coincidence. Most people... Well, the thing is, that's the thing. So... Otacon doesn't die around him, Meryl doesn't die around him, but certain people die around him. Are you finding this interesting, weird?
Weird. And right. It's all heart attacks or something.
Well, it all gets...
I thought it was going to be the ninja guy at first, but then he just killed people normally.
Let's get to the ninja. So then after that, the Meryl, you blow up the walls, blah, blah, blah.
Revolver Ocelot.
Then we get to Revolver Ocelot. why are you laughing?
Who was tied in wire again? What's his name?
The Armstead president, Kenneth Baker.
With his one
Metal Gear has fantastic voiceover. It has undoubtedly the best voiceover of its time. And, you know, we all appreciate that. But the thing is, I think when it came to voicing Baker, the Armstead president, they ran out of data on the discs. So basically, you're running around chasing Otto, and there's this one sound clip of him just going, oh, 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 din 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 din, oh, oh, din din din, oh. It's really a bit off-putting. But what did you think of, aside from the, when you first met Osol? I mean, you're familiar with Osol in terms of, you know, you've seen him before, but when you first met him like that, what was your impression of him?
I thought he was quite cool, but except for the strange gun fetish he seems to have. Yeah. And it doesn't sound...
I love to reload during a battle.
The fact he doesn't really seem that intelligent when he runs out of bullets and you run towards him and he's like, wait, wait.
Oh, crap. I think, what do you think our roommates think you were doing right now? Because you can hear from all the walls, three people go into a room and then we just hear, oh.
I have no idea. I suspect they're very worried.
Mm, definitely. But anyway, going away from that. So, Osol, what did you think of that? You did very well with the battle, the Osol battle. What did you think of that kind of battle mechanic? Do you think it was original? Do you think it was boring, long? What did you think?
I mean, it was quite original. I think because everything nowadays is sort of like first person, so actually seeing yourself...
Or turn-based, where you use a Phoenix down.
So being able to see him on screen running around and trying to shoot at him was fun.
And the thing is, like, you don't usually see the enemy's ammo.
Yeah.
And but that's the thing is, that's where you'll get to notice Kojima is, he's very, at least in most of the Metal Gear games, he's very unique. Each boss is very unique. You don't fight the same boss twice, at least in the first three games, I think. you'll get around to playing MGS4 eventually.
Yeah.
Old Snake. That's more like Golem than Snake. So we fight Ocelot, we defeat him, and then random stuff happens. His arm just gets chopped out. What did you think of when? Well, his arm just came off in a very weird way.
Yeah.
Like it got severed and then it chopped. I was like, my hand. What did you think of the whole the ninja popped up and he was invisible and then he chopped up and then it's like Snake, it's like, oh, I were both, he said something, I forget what he said now. What did you think of the whole that cutscene with the ninja?
I think it's quite cool actually.
Because I think you think it, because you know you're into anime, you're into the whole kind of stylistic thing. I think the ninja is the most anime like thing in the game in terms of jumping around, so
except for mechas.
Oh, Metal Gear, yeah. But we haven't got to that yet. So, I think, well, in a way, the ninja is a bit like a mech. You know, he's
fully... Yeah, he's got a sort of metal...
Yeah. Suit. So did you enjoy his general... His entrance in the game? What?
Yeah. Just looking ahead to the... Hurt me more, Snake!
Hurt me more! But we'll get to that in a second. So... Anne's laughing already. It's Andrew's impression hour. Metal Gear characters. So you enjoy the whole cutscene, Osol's hand being cut off, that kind of thing, and he runs away.
I don't really understand why he'd cut off his arm, though. I mean, I know what happens in the future with it, but
why arm? Was he just felt like cutting off his arm? He could have cut off his leg or his hand or whatever.
I think with Ocelot, it's all about it's as a character they build him. It's the gun, and, but it's all presence as well, isn't it? It's not just a standard MK22 gun. It's a revolver. It's got all calligraphy all across it, and he slashes his arm off. That's his shooting arm.
Yes,
that's his pride. It's not just his arm that's gone.
It is his shooting arm. If you know what I mean.
it's everything, isn't it? It's like he's just disarmed him permanently. I think that's sort of like it's symbolic in a way, the fact that he does cut his arm. Obviously, you've got all the future development plot with that as well, but
it's also very Japanese, I think, in terms of there's a lot of old samurai movies have a lot of limb deep cutting, I guess, bad words. So arm gets cut off, blah blah blah, and then he's talking to Baker. Baker hits him with a stick a couple of times, I think, that kind of stuff. Gives him the card key. Dies. You knew about the box trick, didn't you? Look at the back of the box.
Yeah, I did.
How did you? Yeah, of course you knew that from the stupid memes. So another great Metal Gear moment spoiled by Flash videos.
I still thought it was cool though. Mm-hmm. Sort of breaking the fourth wall slightly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, I think Metal Gear is full of fourth wall break. As we get to Psycho Mantis battle, there's a funny story with that. So we continue there. Baker dies, another heart attack. He gets the key card. And then you have to look for Meryl. You talk. They have Snake and Meryl have a very long conversation. And you pointed out, like, every single time she talks, even though she's meant to be in the skies and the guards, so the guards don't spot her, every time she talks in the codex, she, like, takes 5 seconds to take off her mask, and then she talks, then he puts the mask back on. And it's like, no wonder she gets caught, right?
Yeah. It's no surprise.
Not at all. So that happens, and then we get to the lasers right before the tank battle. So that was the thing. Ant was a step ahead of me because... I think I was on the phone while he was in the armory, and got Hannah, you got her to get the thermal goggles, so she didn't have to use the cigarettes or anything. So didn't help much though. I think she would have been just equally as good with cigarettes or just running blind at it, to be honest with you. So let's go through this from point. So she puts on the goggles, right? What was the first thing you did? We told you to crawl. So you crawled down, first laser, trapped, bang, and then Snake dies. Second time, I think it was first laser again, it cut you up. Because you didn't quite get the concept of walking, pausing, going, pausing, you just went for it.
Yeah, the way the lasers moved up and down on the screen, I found it difficult to actually see where they were going to go down, so I thought... Oh, I have to move now. But
I think the lack of camera control in the game. I think the player does get a bit of a perception of, you know, you don't know what's going on.
The sort of like the 3D environment that was needed to like distinguish what laser is ahead of what one. I suppose the technology at the time they just couldn't do it properly.
So we did that, but then. Because the thing is, both me and Ant offered you our services of playing the game properly. But the thing is, I mean, by the time, because once you get caught, the doors close down and you just have to wait. So Hannah mastered the art of grenade throwing. All she'd do is she would just take the grenade, throw the grenade, and then blow herself up on it. So what happened is, I think after about the 14th attempt, we finally got it. And the thing is, while you were going, me and Ant were screaming at the same rate a snake would scream if he got caught by the laser, weren't we? So it's like he gets compromised. Like, no.
It's very nerve-wracking.
It's as if me and Anne were going to choke to death now. So that's how much we were involved in the game, and we weren't even playing it. So finally, you get past it, and we celebrate. We opened up a bowl of champagne. We had a little miniature party like the Ewoks did at the end of Return of the Jedi. The whole galaxy was celebrating that Hannah got past the lasers. So finally got past there, and then... I love it. I love the bit there, because then after you get out there, there are the mines, and the thing is, because you got the thermal detector, and Ant's like, do we tell her about the mines or do we keep the element of surprise? And I was like, we'll keep the element of surprise. Gets out of there, first thing happens, mine blows up the mine, gets killed. So then we tell her to put on the thermal goggles. She puts on the thermal goggles, tries to avoid the mines, still gets blown up. Because that's the thing, you tried to walk between them, but you still managed to walk into them twice. Twice she managed to walk into them. So that was all fun. Then the tank happened. What was your experience with the beginning cutscene, seeing Raven, then battling the tank overall? What did you think of that?
Well, I think the battle's kind of down to luck. Because the first time I did completely rubbish, and then the second time I only had to like throw about 3 grenades.
But don't you think it's because you developed your skills in grenade throwing by the second time?
Not really.
Don't you think it was maybe by the second time I told you to use the chav grenade to stop the tank from firing rockets at you?
Yeah, that might have helped.
So the battle was down to Andrew telling you stuff, right?
Pretty much.
Okay. Luck, or as they call it, Andrew.
And Snake's armor must be...
Oh, yeah, we noticed that. Snake got run over by the tank about 15 times. So he's really... Really, that suit there, that those anti-peptides Naomi gave him really are doing their job very well. So, what did you think of Raven as a character?
Didn't really get much background for him.
Except he's got a raven on his head.
Except he's got a raven on his head, and he doesn't wear a shirt, even though it's snowing.
I know, right? He's sexy. he's a big Arnold Schwarzenegger fan. He's into the bodybuilding.
And the whole... He's got that whole cryptic... side.
Well, I think you battle him, as you probably guess, you battle him later on again.
Yeah.
And you find out more about him. So far, not too much of an interesting character. But yeah, the tank battle is all about getting the precision and throwing the grenades there. So we beat the tank. It only took you 2 attempts to do, so that was actually very good. Beat the tank, get through, get into the nuclear disposal facility. And it's like they phone you up and it's like, Snake, you can't use weapons here. And then Hannah's like, but hold on, the guards are using weapons. So it was a bit of a failed logic. But you had a bit of trouble dodging the camera there because what happened, do you remember this, Ant? She spent like a long time getting through very accurately, and then I turned around for a bit because I was doing XHTML on my MacBook. I was doing something. I turned back up and she's literally standing facing the guard, and I'm like, and then like for 4 seconds I started screaming in her, turn away from the guard. She's like, boo, and then the guard turns around and catches her. But do you have anything to say on that?
I was yelling like, don't turn around.
Okay, she was yelling at the television. So yes, that is true. Hannah was like, I was yelling at Hannah, walk away, and she was yelling at the television. She was yelling at the guard, don't turn around. So that was fun. So finally, you got in the elevator, went down. Otacon, you did very well on the rocket. After I showed you how to pilot the rocket.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because most people are one of the first start off is really bad.
It took me a while to work out.
Only about a minute. But you actually managed to, after I showed you how to, because it's a lot easier to do with the D-pad, the rocket. Because if you do with the analog, it's all really messy all over the place. But after I showed you how to do the D-pad, I was very impressed. You did it on your very first attempt, on your very first proper attempt, on your own. So I was very impressed with that. Yes, you did, yeah. So what you lack in staring at guards right in the face, you make up with your rocket piloting. Too bad that's the only part of the game in which you have to pilot the rocket. Except piloting it in Meryl's face, as we later did. But we'll talk about that in a second. So get through that, destroy the computer, and this is where the trippy bit comes in. This is a fan favorite bit. So you get in there, and then random sounds start playing. Camera goes all over the place. You see like blood all over the place. You know, people stabbed, that kind of stuff. What did you think of the whole corridor scene?
I suppose it was quite creepy. And then you close the blinds to make it.
Oh yeah,
also, close the curtains.
Because we were playing it during daytime, so I decided to close the blinds to give more atmosphere. So did it help? Did the atmosphere help?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Okay. So creepy, and then you enter that, and it's of course Otacon's introduction. What did you think of his heroic introduction of him urinating himself out of fear? Did you think that was? What did you think of that?
I suppose it's sort of a natural reaction if a ninja with a sword is approaching you.
Not if you're a snake.
Not if you're a snake.
If you're a snake, you just start asking him questions. Everything he says, hurt me more! Hurt you more. But but a snake was just so solid about it. He just walks in and is like, I need that man. I forget ninja dialogue. But and then you came, so the whole they talked ninja battle. What did you think of the ninja battle?
That was fun, actually. I liked the when he goes invisible and you have to go around and find him and just punch him and then he teleports away again.
So then he gets a bit trippy. He starts talking like, I've been waiting for this pain, that kind of stuff. That always does trip people out. I mean, do you think it was necessary to put those kinds of suggestive lines in that game?
Well, it made me laugh, but I don't know if that's the actual intended reaction.
It was actually meant to freak you out. And just out as a man, what was your reaction when you first played that scene?
The ninja?
Yeah.
It was very strange. When I first played that scene, it was very strange and very difficult to actually figure out what it is you're supposed to do at the end as well. You're supposed to punch him and like not use your weapons. It took me a long time to figure that out.
What about the general mood of the scene, the whole creepiness? Were you freaked out by it?
Yes, I thought it was not the actual ninja or the blood or the dead bodies, but when you first walk down that corridor and you see just the guard just staggering forwards. you know, it's a ghost, all that.
Yeah,
genuinely,
it's very freaky.
Very freaky.
Very freaky.
I really like the ninja though, because of he wasn't quite sure whether he was a good guy or a bad guy, were you? And
definitely.
Like the whole backstory, what was his name?
Frank Yeager
as well. Like that was introduced into it. It was very.
What about the Hannah? That big reveal. That the thing is, I mean, and this is where Hannah started asking, was like, was there a prequel to this? Because, you know, most people don't realise, I mean, so, and then I said, you know, there have been Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 for some old console no one in the West has really played, MSX 2, back in, I believe, 87, and then 90, 91 or something like that. I'm not getting my Metal Gear credit, I'm sorry. Hate mail. So there were, but I think Metal Gear Solid did a good enough job of tying up, you know, so you didn't have to play the other games. But what was your reaction when you realized that, you know, him and Snake were friends, and he was like his... Basically, the backstory is Frank Yeager was Agent Fox, Gray Fox, and when Snake was a rookie, Gray Fox was sent to do this thing, and then he got captured, and then Snake freed him, and then in the second game, Gray Fox turned against him, and Snake battled him, and basically Snake blew up Gray Fox and that kind of stuff. So they were good friends. Did you have any reaction when you learned that he was actually a man and not a machine?
It made you much more sympathetic to the character, wasn't it? I can't remember her name.
Naomi,
say something about him being a corpse or
something. She's got a big relationship with him, as you find out later on in the game. Basically what happened is, I think it's Kojima's Star Wars, you know, Star Wars inspires everyone, even the prequel haters, but that's, you know, listen to the last show. But yeah, it's very Star Wars in terms of Darth Vader. You know, he's more machine than man now. Evil and twisted. You lie, Obi-Wan. So it is kind of more machine than man. You know, someone who was destined to die, but he was rebuilt. So I think that kind of it's a cool concept. And spoilers, you do get to see him like open up his face later on in the game. So some spoilers for you there. I'm not gonna spoil the way the finale goes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Big Gray Fox, and then we have a conversation with Otacon. He's talking about Otaku, he's talking about all that kind of stuff. Snake starts coming on to him towards the end of it. Are you feeling alright? Nothing weird going on. He starts touching him. What did you think of that overall? Because, I mean, you, of course, know that Snake and Otacon go on to be best friends and partners. What did you think of that first introduction between them?
I thought it sort of laid the characters, like Otacon's character, out well, and how he didn't actually know what he was doing and stuff. Though the Snake suddenly starting to touch him and being like, "You feel okay?" was a bit weird.
Did you relate to Otacon being an anime fan?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really like mecha animes, and he's really into it.
But I think Kojima did a right job. He put on a character that a lot of fans could associate with. In that sense. Okay, so we meet Otacon, everything's good, then you have to go and meet Meryl again. This time, she's hiding as one of the guards. We managed to spot her pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then we chased her in the woman's toilet. What did you think of that whole scene, like chasing her in the woman's toilet?
Well, I kind of figured out that's where we'd have to go, since Otacon was like, you have to go where...
Don't be so dense! But yeah, so you go, and then there's the whole... What do you think of that whole speech where Snake awkwardly talks to Meryl in the toilet about, you know, oh, I didn't want to be a woman, and, you know, I'm all man, and whatever she says about, you know, soldiers and uncles and weapons and legends. What did you think of that?
I thought it was strange when she said, oh, I've been programmed not to have any interest in men. And then...
But then 2 minutes later, Psycho Mantis is like, oh... That's not what he says, but, you know.
Yeah.
Don't get laid tonight, Snake. Don't get laid.
What about the whole...
That was Psychomancer's last words. Don't get laid.
Oh, saying, oh, she's got a big place in her heart for you, even though they've met for about 5 minutes overall. Which is strange.
So I love how my Psychomancer sounds amazing. Don't get laid. Don't get laid. Arriba, arriba. Controller 2. Anyway, so I'm sorry, Javier, I offended the people from your part of the world. Anyway, please don't get mad. That whole thing was kind of contradictory, and then because the thing is, I like showing people who haven't, I guess, been as obsessed with Metal Gear as I am, secrets in the game. So I was trying to get Meryl to hit Snake in the face, because we did that thing where you can basically, for those who don't know, if you stare at Meryl too close, she starts like, hey, what are you doing, Snake? Why are you staring at me? Knock it out, that kind of thing. And then the thing is, I was trying to get that to work. I was trying to look what happens there. But she kept on asking those questions, and you were away that time, I think. She kept on asking those questions, but she didn't end up slapping him. So what happens is I just decided to choke her on the floor. And then basically what happens is after you choke her, she starts chasing you and she punches you. So then what I think I got bad is I decided to get revenge. So I stepped away and I just shot a rocket launcher at Meryl. And then I blew her up. But the thing is, you shoot her a rocket launcher, she falls down, gets up, slaps you. And then the very last time when, she had a little health left, I just put some C4 on there. And then, I ran away from her. But anyway, that was just weird stuff. So then we get to probably one of the most iconic parts of the game. We get to Psycho Mantis. You've heard of Psycho Mantis, of course, beforehand. What did you think of their overall introduction where he possesses Meryl? He's talking about that kind of, Snake, don't like girls, Snake. That kind of stuff. What did you think of their overall trippy cutscene?
I thought it was quite effective in, freaking you out, because I knew about him, that he was going to come up and stuff, but it's still, possessing her and everything, and then making her go to shoot herself in the head.
Even though it was very effective, I'll tell you what wasn't very effective. Two things that were meant to be the most effective weren't effective at all in terms of...
Put
your controller down on the floor. First of all, start off, he was going to read your mind. He's like, I'm going to read your mind. No Konami game. So it's like, your mind is completely clean. And I was like, shit, this is not, trust me. And then he's like, still don't believe me? Put your controller down on the floor as flat as you can. A little bit of context for the listeners. We were playing this on Ant's PS3. Ant has the first 60 gig, right? 60 gig, the very first 60 gig model. This is the one that has PS2 backwards compatibility, but doesn't have the DualShock 3, the 6-axis, so the controller doesn't vibrate. So we get Psycho Mantis, and I was like, Hannah didn't play this, so I was like, Hannah, check this out. This is Psycho Mantis fail. I put the controller flat on the floor, and I was like, Hannah, check this out. And he was like, put the controller flat down on the floor. I will make it move with the power of my mind alone. Nothing. And he's like, did you see my power? And then I was like, no. So that was a bit of a fail. That was a lot of a fail, actually. But pretend like it moves, Basically, it makes it vibrate. So it's funny how, those things aren't quite as effective. I think it's actually demonstrated a lot better in Twin Snakes, which is the GameCube remake, where he actually reads Nintendo games. He's like, oh, you've been playing Super Smash Brothers? You're like Mario.
If he actually said that to Snake, it would just...
No, but in Twin Snakes, Snake breaks the fourth wall where he's like, put your controller flat down on the floor. Snake looks at the camera and nods at the player. He's like, yeah, do it. It's interesting. But past that. And then, of course, once again, thanks to the stupid internet memes, you knew to switch the controller from port 1 to port 2. Yeah. They spoil all the best parts of the game. But let's pretend that didn't happen. What did you think of that game mechanic?
I thought it's quite clever. Mm. I do like how they sort of break the fourth wall and everything and make the most out of the PlayStation system.
Definitely. I think for the time, Kojima definitely pushed the PS1. It literally utilized everything. Surround sound with the Harrier, which is later on with the helicopter. Vibration, memory cards, optical discs. I think it definitely utilized it to the best of its abilities.
And how it's fully voice acted. That really surprised me.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the third iteration of PlayStation consoles didn't have vibration to start off with, which is kind of a huge step backwards. At least it had DVD playback and like certain other Nintendo consoles, which you own. The overall Psycho Mantis battle. I think after you figure out the controller thing, it becomes a lot more of a generic battle. I mean, he makes the screen black every now and then, but
yeah.
What did you think of the end speech of Psycho Mantis? Yeah, talking about seeing your future, and that was the thing. It's like, I see into this woman's heart. She has a place for you there. And we rewind 10 minutes later. Like, I've been programmed not to feel anything. It's a bit of a cliche thing. But what did you think of the overall, the end speech and him taking off the mask and that kind of stuff?
I think, again, like, same with the ninja guy. It made him much more, like, sympathetic. And
what about when he told Snake he was infertile? And he wasn't going to have kids? It's like, everyone always wants to spread their seed, except you, Snake. You have no balls. I'm abbreviating here, but that was kind of trippy in a way. That's as far as we got.
Yeah.
That's as far as we got. Then we watched episode 3. I was like, yes. So that's as far as we got. I mean, looking at how much we recorded now, we're doing very good time. We're at 45 minutes, so it's very good. It's almost like a full show. Full show's around about an hour, just over an hour. So to wrap it up, dear listeners, I hope you enjoyed our new experiment, if you will. I've had great fun doing this. And have you had fun doing
it? I've had a lot of fun doing this.
Hannah, what do you think? Are you enjoying? First of all, let's get back to the basics. Let's sort everything out. Are you enjoying Metal Gear Solid 1?
I am enjoying Metal Gear Solid 1.
Do you? I don't want you to start rating it, but I mean, would you stick to this franchise? Would you play the other games in the series? You think?
Yeah, I will. I think I will because I'm not used to that kind of genre, but I got really into it.
What do you think is the most appealing part of this game for you right now? Story, gameplay, characters, sounds, sexual innuendos.
I think just Snake, really. He's a really cool character.
Yeah. What do you think? What makes him cool for you?
I like his voice.
If Snake asked you on a date, would you go with him?
Definitely.
Even if he was dressed like that.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, okay. Discovered Hannah's perfect man. So you're liking his voice. What about his character?
I like how he's sort of flirtatious and everything, and it is quite funny hearing him.
You're into the bad guy type, aren't you?
Yeah. No. But
you're into the guy who's the guys who ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Pointlessly.
Guys who go Metal Gear.
Excellent. You mainly like it because of the central Snake character.
Yeah.
He's not MGS2 very much.
How he interacts with like other characters as well.
How he asks questions. Yeah. No, but I can completely agree. Snake is definitely my favorite character. I think that was why a lot of people. I mean, I'm not spoiling because me and Ant were playing MGS2 and you were there before you even started playing the MGS1, so you have seen us play it. You of course know about Raiden, and I think that's why a lot of fans. Why are you laughing?
Don't know, Raiden.
Raiden. Yeah.
Sorts of amusement.
Both me and Ant like Raiden. Raiden's cool. He's an interesting character, right?
He was in
MGS2. In MGS2. Yeah. In MGS4, they raped him.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later on. Spoilers, Hannah. He's not an interesting character in MGS4. But
Remembered you showing the him, like, not having anything down there.
Oh, God. Did we say this? Okay, this is a bit of a tidbit. What happened is, this is the time. It was me, Ant, and Hannah. We were playing MGS2, and I was showing Ant some of the secrets, like the shaver and that kind of stuff. And then we were talking about the interrogation scene, and it was like the straw is always conveniently placed and that kind of stuff. And I go to Ant, I'm like, you realize Raiden has no wang. And he's like, what do you mean? And it's like, go and get, because you have substance. I go to him, get the second disc of substance. Put in the second disc of substance. We get the cutscenes, and I do like a dramatic reveal. Where, like, I moved the camera. And to those who don't know what's going on, if you need to get a copy of Metal Gear Solid 2 Substance for the PlayStation 2. The PlayStation 2 version has what's called the Document of Metal Gear Solid. Or just get the Document of Metal Gear Solid, but I think it's very rare. It was a special edition thing. So you're better off going on eBay and getting Metal Gear Solid 2 Substance. There you have something called Replay Theater, Polygon Demos, where you can basically go into every single cutscene, pause it, and view it from every different angle. It's actually very well done. And of course, there is the cutscenes when Raiden is completely naked, suspended to the torture rack. And of course, when the cutscenes are made, conveniently, you never see his wang. But you can pause the cutscenes and move it around, and unfortunately Kojima Productions didn't actually give him a sexual organ, which kind of furthers people's belief that Raiden is a woman. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people hate Raiden. But that's a little bit of a tidbit to the fans, so do check it out, if you know, but make sure your parents aren't there when you do it, or anyone's around you. So yeah, but the thing is, going back to, I think a lot of fans, the reason they didn't like Raiden is, like you, they played MGS1 and they really grew attached to Snake, and then we had MGS2 and Snake was there for about 9% of the overall game, and then it was replaced by Raiden. But don't hate Raiden just because of that. You should be more open to him, because he's a very interesting character. He's, you know, don't judge a book by its white female like hair and lack of male sexual organs. So right now we're at that. I'm very glad that you're enjoying Metal Gear Solid. I hope the listeners have enjoyed listening to the show. It's at 50 minutes now, so you know, we're running a good length show. I hope my co-host enjoyed listening to this, because I know Sons of the Patriot Cast is going to be out around Sunday time. So I hope, guys, you can deliver as good an episode as I do right now. So you're gonna have to trump me, guys, with a woman. So Javier, bring your wife, and Donnie, if you're there, bring your sister, and just get them to talk about like stuff as well. So you're gonna have to. This is a competition. I'm competing with my own show. It has come to this now. I'm competing with a show which I've created. I'm competing with my children. But anyway, I hope the listeners have enjoyed listening to the show. I would like to keep this a weekly show. Hannah, I haven't asked you this. Have you enjoyed doing this podcast? Doing this recording?
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah? Okay. Will you come back next week, and or hopefully on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, excellent. So, as you heard, listeners, and I wasn't pointing a gun at her head or anything like that. She is being honest. We will try to do this as a weekly show. Please do email me if you like this new thing we're doing. Also, email me questions for Hannah, or Twitter me questions for Hannah, or Facebook me, or just go on the forums, patriotcast.proboards.com, and post questions which you would like Hannah to answer, what she feels about certain parts of the Metal Gear, that kind of stuff. And we'll definitely read them out in the show. I think that'd be a very interesting part. So I think on that note, we're definitely going to wrap the show. Thank you very much for listening to the Patriot Cast. I would like to thank and thank you very much for joining us, being a great co-host, and I would like to thank Hannah, thank you very much for agreeing to be this experiment, if you will. So thank you very much to the listeners for listening, and we will see you guys very soon.